Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And for this evening's divine intervention, we're going to be trying a white from Durbanville Hills, but before I give many more details on the wine, let's go immediately down to the Cape to our food and wine expert, my partner in wine, Michael Olifier, recipient of the Eat Out's Wine Person Lifetime Achievement Award for his contribution to food and wine. Michael, good evening. Great to chat to you again.
Hi, John. Lovely to be with you.
And you're not just with me, Michael. This evening, the studio is crowded. We told them it would be free, and we just couldn't keep them away. Sitting to my immediate left, we have branding expert Jeremy Sampson from Interbrand Sampson, and, of course, a wine writer, a wine fundy. Jeremy, great to chat to you again.
John, Happy New Year. Great to be with you.
And with us as well, somebody else who's no stranger to chatting about wine with me, although we've indulged in one or two other brews in our time, Chris Gilmore from Absa Investments. Chris, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, John. Thank you very much, as usual.
And last but not least, we have Malcolm McDonald from Tursos, who is not only an expert in his own niche of red wine, but is prepared for a small fee to indulge in other stuff, and is, of course, the technical genius behind the genius that is Divine Intervention. Malcolm, great to chat to you.
Hi. Thanks, John. Good to be here.
Well, we've introduced the guests. Without any further ado, let's introduce the wine. It's reasonably young, from last year, a 2013 Sauvignon Blanc from Durbanville Hills. Michael, talk us through it.
This is my home country. My parents farmed in Durbanville. In fact, not very far away from this winery. Now, here you have a valley going up, moving away from the sea. So at night you've got lovely cooling breezes coming in, longer hang time, much greater flavor on the grapes. This is made by a chap called Martin Moore and Gunter Kellerman, who is the white wine maker at Durbanville Hills. In the glass, it's a pale straw color. You swirl it a little bit and you might just pick up some green flashing there too. Once you get it up to your nose, the thing that I really love about a young Sauvignon Blanc like this is that sort of overt grapefruit. There's some winter melon there, there's a bit of lime, some other tropical fruits, guava, etc. And then because of the way they pick, where they in the ripeness phase, they'll pick some in early ripeness and some in later ripeness, you have that sort of green grassy element from the earlier ripening grapes and that more tropical at the end. Once you get it into your mouth, you've got that lovely, lovely mouthfeel. There's lots of lime and citrus going on there, some sugar snap peas as well. And then just this lovely, refreshing acidity. It's a great glass on its own, and it's fabulous with food too.
And Michael, you say it's fabulous with food. What would you pair this with?
Well, I think the other day we got some lovely fresh calamari, and it was just tubes and the heads, and just tossed in a pan with garlic and chili and lemon, and just served with some rice. It was just wonderful, and this is the sort of wine that goes perfectly with that kind of dish.
Well, I must say, I'm enjoying this. Maybe I would have chilled it a bit more than we have for this particular tasting, but it's certainly very, very elegant. It's refreshing. I think this is a very good summer wine. Maybe a little bit too heavy to schlurp all afternoon, but give it two or three bottles, and I think I'd have a reasonable fill. But what do I know, Jeremy Sampson?
John, I'm still stuck on two or three bottles, but having my first sip, exactly as Michael said, it's very, very fresh. I'm intrigued as well that the Durbanville area seems to have come up tremendously the last, 5 years or so, to be one of the key producers now within the South African wine industry. Michael, help me, but I think this is part of Distell, isn't it now, Durbanville?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are sort of nine or so farms that form the bulk of the production in that area, and they're in partnership with Distell.
And, you know, as you said, delicious wine, lovely bouquet, lovely taste, and a very lingering taste, which is very pleasant afterwards. And I think it's the fresh grass that and the guavas that, to me, stick out, but delicious.
Well, yeah. We'll have to get you a clean glass next time if it's full of fresh glass and guavas, Mr. Zanta. Mr. Gilmore, Chris Gilmore, how are you enjoying this?
I think there's a lovely cheeky wee wine here. it's acidic without being astringent. And I think, as Michael said, it's got these lovely, wonderfully crisp lime flavours. I disagree with you, John. I can whack out two or three bottles of this with consummate ease, even without food. But I think what Michael's discussing, you know, calamari and rice, that would be an excellent accompaniment. This is wonderful. It's a lovely, lovely wine.
And Chris, are you being Scottish when you talk about cheeky wee, or are you referring to the fact that Sauvignon Blanc often has a cat pee aroma about it?
No, that's got nothing to do with it, in my opinion. Yes, I mean, it relates to an old television series from the 1970s called Budgie. And I'm sure Jeremy will remember this vividly. There was a fellow called Ian Cuthbertson, old Scottish actor.
Excellent actor.
He talked about Beaujolais being a cheeky wee Beaujolais. But I think this is a cheeky wee Sauvignon Blanc. It's lovely.
Malcolm, are you enjoying your cheeky wee Sauvignon Blanc?
Yes, very much so. I was intrigued by the guava idea, and now that it's been said, I can find it in here, and I quite like that. I'm not sure I'm a two or three bottles on a hot Sunday afternoon, but I was curious as to what could you eat with this that would be cool, like a South African summer type dish, something like maybe some fruit and various goodies like that. What would go with this,
Michael?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you had a nice organic chicken that you sort of roasted with butter and herbs, that would be fantastic. You could, I mean, there's some wonderful mangoes in season now at the moment. And if you made it sort of a curry mayonnaise and just served that with cold chicken and sliced mango and curry mayonnaise, that would be perfect with something like this.
Michael, I must ask you, moving slightly away from the wine we're tasting to the news that came out this week that South Africa has rattled ahead in terms of wine exports, up, I think, the figure was 26% last year. What do you make of that? Because I've been having a very brief dialogue with Mike Ratcliffe, who, as you know, is the owner of Warwick, and he's slightly suspicious of that surge in exports, maybe worried that quite a bit of it could be accounted for by bulk plonk being sent out of the country rather than the sort of fine wine that we taste on Divine Intervention. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think Mike is wrong. One of the things that worries me is a massive increase of wine that's going in bulk to Italy. And I mentioned this to somebody the other day, and I said, what the hell are they doing with it? And they said, oh, they're turning it all into balsamic vinegar. I think that there's a lot of stuff going out in bulk that's, I think for me, the most suspicious is the Italian lot, because I think they're simply blending it in, putting it into a box and shipping it off to Sweden or something.
Jeremy Sampson, any thoughts?
Well, I think it is interesting how geography is playing more of a part at the moment on the wine industry. Now, when you see the drama in France last year, their 2013 vintage, they say is going to be a total disaster. When we see what's happening in Australia with the heat, and the heat again just the last couple of days impacting the 24 vintage in Australia. And I think this is all to the advantage of perhaps places like South Africa, which seems to be producing more and more wine. So the people around the world who are struggling and have a shortage, they're coming to us for it. That's not a good thing because it's bulk, as you say, but on the other hand, it is using up all this capacity that we've got.
Chris, like me, you may remember all those stories about wine producers in the south of France who used to bulk up their rather insipid wines by importing the robust stuff. I think it was a lot of it came from Morocco.
There you go,
Michael. Presumably, there's no great service to South Africa if we're exporting pretty down-market stuff that doesn't even appear with our brand. Or maybe it's a good thing, if it's insipid stuff, that it's just disguised as vinegar or something else.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think at the end of the day, John, if you can get rid of any spare capacity you've got in that regard, it's actually a good thing. 26% is interesting because it's very much in line with the size of the fall of the rand against the dollar during the course of last year, about 24%. So it's perhaps not surprising. I think what we're really discussing here is not so much the extent, you know, the quantum here, but the fact that we're talking about bulk stuff. And if you can get a lot of that stuff into other countries, disguised as something else, doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it's all grist to the mill as far as the producers here are concerned.
Yeah. But Marco, wouldn't you like, if we're talking about something that's a bit better than Plonk, wouldn't you like the South African consumer to get more of these bargains? I know that if you go to some of the big chains, Ultra or ShopRite Checkers, you will find their own brand stuff, which is thinly disguised stuff from fairly kosher wine estates. And I'm not talking about kosher wine estates. I'm talking about kosher wine estates.
I've sort of asked this question about the car industry as well, the motor industry. And I think the answer is simply economics, is they'll sell stuff for what people are prepared to pay for it. And South Africans, unfortunately, don't protest too much against the prices they see, and so we'll continue to pay the same prices as we have. I think it's not in the wine estate's interest to reduce the price for the locals because they're able to. So I don't think it'll happen.
And Michael Olivier, just going back to the wine that we're tasting, the Durbanville Sauvignon Blanc 2013. Now, I know you sent me out to buy a Chenin Blanc and I came back with the wrong wine, but you've been very tolerant of my inability to read these labels in dimly lit bottle stores. But Sauvignon Blanc, and I know we've discussed this before, but if you've got a wine list in front of you in a restaurant, or you're pacing through a supermarket or a bottle store, and you see a Sauvignon Blanc, without referring to any particular producer, is it generally a fairly good bet? Are you likely to enjoy this varietal?
Yeah, I think you are. You know, it's interesting because, I think you get a much greater bang for your buck with a Chenin. I think you get much more flavor as well. But Sauvignon Blanc is really, really popular. And, you know, the urban legend is that that Sauvignon Blanc is the most popular white wine in the country. But then that excludes the Chenins and the Chardonnays, of course. But yeah, I think that, you know, I don't believe that there are too many wines on the shelves of our supermarkets or our special, wine specialist shelves that are not drinkable.
Well, we will come back to that topic in our next podcast. But before we go, just a quick comment on what Michael has said. Jeremy Sampson?
I think it's interesting when we actually look at the whole thing, because looking at most wine lists, certainly up in Johannesburg, you sometimes find there's no Chenin listed at all. Last night, I happened to be out with my wife, and we found one listed, which I think was the Mulder's Wash, but then about six or seven Sauvignon Blancs. And certainly, I prefer Chenin Blanc, especially if you go out for fish and that sort of thing. And I still find a lot of menus where you don't have it, which worries me.
Chris? I agree with Michael. It's a great shame because Chenin is the great unsung hero of South Africa. And I just endorse exactly what Mr. Sampson here was saying.
Well, the unsung hero of our podcasts, Malcolm McDonald, a final thought on that. When you are choosing a white, and I know your preference is for red, where does your finger point on a wine list?
Things I've heard of before, things I've tried before, because I'm really not such a white wine guru, or it's not really my favorite thing. But I couldn't help thinking, as Mr. Sampson was talking about other countries in the world where they're having so much difficulty and we're helping them out by supplying some wine, I couldn't help thinking, first world problems. It's... You know, that's the sort of aid that we can help first world countries with.
Yeah, we should send a lot more to Somalia. Well, many thanks to our guests this evening. Of course, to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier, down in the Cape. We look forward to chatting to you in a week's time. But for now, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave you with the rest of that lovely bottle of Durbanville Hills 2013 Sauvignon Blanc. Michael, always a privilege to chat to you.
John, such a pleasure. Thank you.
And many thanks to our studio guests this evening, to Jeremy Sampson.
Thanks, John.
Chris Gilmore.
Hey, John.
And Malcolm McDonald.
Good night.
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.